Good morning, Tucson and Southern Arizona. Welcome into the 1030 The Voice studio. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, for this hour of Tipping Point, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. It is Monday, October the 19th. Welcome aboard for this week here on the show, and glad you're here with us. We're going to start the week off fast here. Our first conversation of the day is with the City of Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus. We're going to talk about some recent issues. It is Chief Magnus's first time on the show. We're looking forward to that. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, will be on at the end of the hour to update us on just the deluge of early ballots that are heading to her office. So we'll talk about that news as well. Chief Magnus, welcome on the air. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
It is. This is my first thing of the day. Might be yours as well. I appreciate that on a Monday. Looking forward to talking about some of the recent events and some recent reports and things that the department is working on, that the city is working on. But first, I just wanted to say that I have been in community meetings where we've asked to meet with you and talk about some things. We scheduled an hour. You gave us a couple of hours. Never felt rushed. You brought a lot of your team. And I just want to make sure that people out there listening know that you really do put time into all of this and communicating with the community. So I wanted to start off by saying thank you.
Yeah, no problem. I think that's probably one of the most important parts of our job. We got to be as open and transparent and, frankly, accountable as possible. So thanks for having me on and for involving other members of my team.
Yeah, absolutely. Chief Magnus, this first segment here, we've got two here together this morning. I wanted to get your thoughts on the Sentinel Event Review Board results that were recently published in the community, and also talk about service delivery and how you feel the department is staffed and able to respond to issues in the community. Chief Magnus, the Sentinel Event Review Board came together to really look at the two in-custody deaths of Carlos Adrian Ingram Lopez and Damon Alvarado. Combination of community leaders and thinkers across sectors. They found 30 contributing factors and conditions leading to the deaths, and provided over 50 recommendations to your office. A few of them, things like, was the language barrier a barrier? Responding to behavioral crisis versus law enforcement emergency? Focus on de-escalation, physical restraint, things like that. Now, as you reviewed the results of that board, what were your thoughts as the chief of police here in Tucson on their recommendations and response to those two situations?
I think the recommendations are very good. I think they're going to be very helpful. We've already been working hard to put many of them in place. And, of course, there's some that do not just involve the police department. They also involve Tucson Fire, as well as our Public Safety Communications Department, otherwise known as our 911 Center. So there's work to be done for all of us. But I thought this was a really good process. This Sentinel Event Review Board is something that we convened. It's something that really we're one of the only departments in the country that is using this approach. And I think it is, I think it's incredibly important to take something that ends, you know, circumstances that do not go the way you would like them to, but to then be able to learn from them so you can minimize the likelihood that you're going to have similar incidents in the future. And that was really the goal of the CERB.
We're with Tucson Police Chief Chris Magnus this morning. There was a recommendation in the proposal from the CERB, the Sentinel Event Review Board, and the results are online for public viewing. There was a better recommendation. There was a recommendation to better figure out how to respond to calls, Chief, that have both mental behavioral health elements and law enforcement aspects. This has obviously been a huge topic of conversation. You know, things around maybe funding more mental health specialists or sending out different people on calls. I know you have some specific thoughts on this. How would the department respond to that recommendation? How would you respond to calls that have both a mental behavioral health component and a law enforcement aspect well?
Well, I think a lot of it first has to come down to triaging these calls when they come into the communications center. And we're already making progress along those lines. We have recently been utilizing a clinician that's funded basically through Arizona Complete Health to, they're not up there 24 hours a day, but they're up there a large portion of the day to sort of triage and evaluate calls that come in that appear to have a mental health component, and then to make a decision about what the best response to that caller might look like. In some cases, it might be as, well, I won't say simple because even these are complex, but it might be as straightforward as referring them to a crisis line or doing what we call a warm handoff to someone who can talk to that person and get them assistance and referrals and the like. In other circumstances, it may involve sending out mobile crisis teams. A lot of people don't know that we already have pairs of clinicians that are, again, they're funded through Arizona Complete Health, that go out to a lot of these calls on their own with no police involvement whatsoever. And then in other cases, particularly where there could be violence, where there is a higher degree of risk, perhaps it's in the middle of the night, there might be a domestic component or an unknown trouble component. These are the kind of situations where there really does need to be a police response, if nothing else, to make the situation safe for others. And then in many cases, we can involve mobile crisis team members to come in and further assist with the situation. But I guess the bottom line is there's no, you know, even with these triaged and more nuanced responses to mental health calls, there's no one size fits all. And again, part of the challenge also is that calls don't just come in. You know, somebody doesn't just call in and say, this is a mental health call, or here's somebody in mental in emotional distress. It's confusing sometimes.
Right. Yeah. And the again, just for listeners to reference, the Sentinel Event Review Board got into some of those nuances, Chief, and either saw some of those as one of their 30 contributing factors or provided some recommendations as part of their 50 recommendations. Chief, there, maybe as our last topic here, as we go to our first break, is service delivery. You know, I think about the fact that in 2019 we had a mayor and council election, and every time an election cycle comes around, we really start talking about how many police are on our force. Do we have enough? Are we stretching our police thin? And then 2020 was a whole different category of that conversation as well, Chief, of do we have enough? Do we have too many? Do we need to be sending different people out to these calls? It's been 2 years of a lot of this conversation. How many officers do we have on the force today, Chief Magnus? Have we seen some attrition since even the events of this summer? And where do you want to be in terms of staffing? How many officers do we need to get to where you'd like to see the force?
Well, I'd really like to see the force in the 900, mid-900 range. I think even that is probably low for a city of our geographic size with the different challenges and issues that we have. Right now, we are budgeted for 885 sworn personnel, and that's everybody from me all the way down to the newest police officer. But obviously, out of that group, you know, you have detectives, you have supervisors and administrators, detectives. So when it comes down to who's actually deployable, who out of that sworn group in each of those ranks is deployable, it's right now 781, which is a number that I think is way too low. And out of that, you know, it's 487 police officers. You know, we have 59 positions vacant right now. That's troubling to me. It's frustrating that recruiting is such a big challenge. And I think we definitely have to do better, even as we look to other resources to work with us on responding to various calls.
Anything that can be done around the recruiting side? Is it a matter of having more police academies? Is it brand and narrative around being a police officer? All the above? What's the barrier there in your mind?
Well, look, I think this is a great department to work for. Folks who come on board here are going to see more in terms of different kinds of police activity, interesting assignments to have. You know, they can have a really varied, diverse, and I think terrific career here. But we're still faced with the challenge that policing these days doesn't have a great narrative on a national level. A lot of, you know, it's not something that a lot of folks necessarily want to go into. And then we also have the challenge that we're not the best paying department in the area by far. And that frustrates me. I think it's something we have to do better on. I know it's not just pay that attracts people to an agency, but especially given the demands on the job in Tucson, I think it's something where we could do a lot better, and I'd like to see that happen.
We're on the line with Tucson's police chief, Chris Magnus, this morning. When we come back from a short break, we'll talk about a recent article that was written in the Arizona Daily Star about several off-fired Tucson cops are back on the job after civilian board review. Chief Magnus had some pretty pointed thoughts in that article on the Civil Service Commission. We'll also talk about the recent news around the 911 call center and how that impacts the police department, not under Chief Magnus's administration, but certainly impacting it. That and more when we come back from our first break, our first conversation here on this show with Chief Magnus, and we're only partway through. We'll be right back.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business. Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Tucson, if you're like me and my family, COVID-19 has made us take a hard look at our finances and financial planning. If that's you too, give my friends at MassMutual a call at 274-3749. They can help you navigate through these challenging times, integrate your insurance and investments with a purpose and a plan, and create a holistic financial strategy that works for you. Call them at 274-3749 to get started.
Trusted local news and talk all day, every day. 10:30, The Voice.
Tucson in Southern Arizona. We are back here in the 10:30 The Voice studio. Part two of our conversation this morning with Tucson's police chief, Chris Magnus. Chief, thank you again for being on. And I wanted to pivot to a bit of a different topic. In fact, this was the article that really prompted me to reach out to your office to see if we could have a quick chat about this. There's this interesting kind of situation where you and your department are really working on some reform policy, some police reform around some of the issues we've already mentioned. But there is a 5-member commission created by the city charter called the Civil Service Commission. 2 R's, 2 D's, and an alternative party member sit on that and are appointed by the mayor and council to 6-year terms. You stated a concern in the local media, Chief, that when your department removes Tucson police from the department for, you know, any violations of a certain kind, your concern is that this commission has been putting a number of those back on the force. And your feeling is that the decisions have undermined your responsibilities and decisions to hold officers accountable for policy compliance. Can you explain a little bit more about what your thoughts are around this?
Sure. So, you know, look, let me first say that this is not at all personal, directed towards individual members of the commission who, frankly, were asking a lot of people to serve on these boards. And I appreciate them taking on this responsibility. It's a lot of work for, I think, little to no compensation. But here's the thing. I have to be able to deal with police officers who sometimes make really bad decisions or engage in misconduct. Obviously, we have a range of sanctions that can be imposed, ranging from suspension to demotion to termination. And I take all of those very, very seriously. An officer can appeal a suspension over 80 hours, demotion, or a termination to civil service. And civil service is really supposed to look to see whether there was just cause for the decision that the department reached. And really, the only time cases should be overturned is where they can show our actions were arbitrary or capricious. And so it comes down to this. I believe there are good people, even good police officers, who can make bad decisions. But I have an obligation to the community when someone exercises very poor judgment in a critical area, like use of force, for example, or engages in domestic violence or driving under the influence. I believe a responsibility to the community to impose the appropriate discipline, which in some cases involves termination. And my concern is when the Civil Service Commission looks at all sorts of things outside of whether my actions were arbitrary and capricious, and instead factors in things like, you know, do they like the officer? Do they feel like they want to be supportive of police or the police department in general? Or even worse, I think, where they just decide that they don't agree with a particular policy that we put in place. And so it doesn't matter whether the officer violated the policy or not. They just don't support the policy. And I think that is very, very problematic from the standpoint of holding people accountable, which I think the public wants. I think they wanted it before. I think they want it even more now. So I believe that's unacceptable.
Would you still advocate, as you mentioned a little bit earlier this summer, for exploration of a charter change to maybe move towards more of an administrative law or a situation where administrative law judges make that decision instead?
I think there are a number of different options out there, and you're right. Any change to this process requires a change to the charter that would have to be something that the public voted on. But I do think that administrative law judges who tend to have a little bit more of a professional background, a little bit more of a legal background, understand the parameters in which they can make decisions. I think that has the potential to benefit both the department, but also members of the union as well, because some of these decisions that are factored in outside of the scope of just cause can be just as difficult. They can have just as negative an impact on the union representing a member as they can on management. So it's not so much that I'm unhappy that a decision necessarily goes one way or the other. My concern is what members of this body are considering in terms of reaching their decisions. So, I'm not ready to commit yet to administrative law judges the solution, but I think it might be something certainly worthy of consideration or discussion by the city council.
Yeah, it's interesting, Chief Magnus, when I first mentioned this article on the air, it was side by side with another citizen group that was saying how excited they were to be working constructively with the police department on solving reform issues. And I thought it was interesting to have those two articles side by side where you've got good community conversation, but if the structures aren't right for accountability to happen, I think it's just, it's a cycle that doesn't really ever end, maybe as it should. So I thought that was interesting. Chief, we've got just a tad over 2 minutes here. This is not under your administration, but there was a report about the Public Safety Communications Department and just a lot of kind of internal rancor and concerns that this may be affecting public safety calls. Do you have any concerns about that thus far?
Well, I think we have to be concerned, and that concern needs to lead to action. The goal is to have the best possible service to the public when it comes to handling 911 calls, receiving them, getting them dispatched, having people that you're going to keep on the job, appropriate training. All of these are really important issues. So the things that I know the director of the center, the fire chief, and I are all committed to working together on with the city manager. I appreciate that there's work to be done. I don't think any of us would deny that. Keep in mind that we're still dealing with having consolidated two separate operations, which were definitely right, not serving the community. So this is serious stuff, but we're going to work together to get things resolved and make it better.
Chief Magnus, that about wraps us up. I do want to end by saying that Tucson, if I have my facts right, is one of only two departments that have voluntarily proceeded on the 8 reforms and 8 can't wait. And also, I believe you're one of the only departments to report on custody deaths now. It's pretty unique to Tucson to do that. So thank you for your community response and for your community service. And I hope this is the first of many conversations together on the air.
I look forward to more. Thank you very much for having me.
Tucson's Police Chief Chris Magnus, our kickoff guest here on our Monday show, first day of the week. Thank you again, sir. Wide-ranging conversation, and I always appreciate it. When we come back, we'll chat a little bit more about some of these themes here, just you and I, Tucson. Fourth segment, County Recorder FN Rodriguez is on to talk about early ballots. We'll be right back.
CBS News at the top and bottom of every hour. 10:30 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Here we go again. The Tucson summer heat is upon us, straining our AC units and our budgets as energy costs go up, and we hope we can get just one more year out of our air conditioners. But did you know changing your AC system out now could drop your power bill by half? All while getting 10 years of warranties and guarantees. The team at Ultra Air Conditioning can get you taken care of with super competitive cost to install and up to $3,000 in rebates. They also have great financing options available. Don't wait. Call today, 392-8008.
Hi, my name is Shanae with HR Resolve. Whether you are a self-employed individual or hire up to 35 employees, HR Resolve is your small business corporate office. We are locally owned, providing everything from general administrative and accounting services to payroll services and hiring. I started out just me, grew my company right here in Tucson, and want to help you succeed too. Call me and the HR Resolve team at 520-867-8384 to get started.
Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
Trusted local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Welcome back to the program again here in the 1030 The Voice studio. You're listening to Tipping Point. If you're just joining us, I'm your host, Zach Yenser. Daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We just finished our debut conversation with the City of Tucson's Police Chief, Chris Magnus. We covered, I think, a range of topics, the results of the Sentinel Event Review Board from two in-custody deaths within the last year, service delivery, how many are on the force, Civil Service Commission, serious issues at Tucson's 911 call center, which is not under his administration, but of course impacts the delivery of public safety calls in response. And just really grateful for his time and for being willing to come on the air. Again, if you missed it, I opened the show by referencing a meeting where a group that I was a part of submitted some comments that the police chief looked at regarding some of the events of the summer. And we got an immediate response back, four pages of responding to the thoughts that we had put forth, an invitation to meet, which we took him up on. We scheduled an hour together. And not only did the police chief show up, but brought four or five members of his staff, and it ended up being a two-hour conversation. And it was not a kumbaya conversation in terms of there was a variety of opinions and feelings and thoughts that were part of the group that I was a part of that met with Chief Magnus and asked him some very difficult questions. He responded to all of them. And I think when a public official after work hours spends 2 hours with a group of citizens, I think it means a lot. I opened the show by appreciating him for that. And so I think that is a good sign going forward that so many, if not the majority of these men and women on the force are really in it for the right reasons and want to do a great job and care about our city. And so I wanted to bump that again here as we transition. FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, is going to be on in a few moments to discuss the deluge of early ballots. She's never seen anything like it. We also haven't had a pandemic before, but nonetheless, lots of early ballots coming in. We'll talk with her about what she's seen and any last words of how and when to get your ballot in. I think October 26th or 27th is the recommended date. We'll talk with her about that. But this kind of segment here, I just wanted to touch back on something. I didn't know these numbers before, but I asked the police chief how many are on the force. And there's some interesting layers to that. There are 885 people employed. And of that number, he said that includes himself. So these are detectives. These are admins. These are not just police officers on the street. We're at 885. Only 781 of those 885 are deployable. And I want to go back and listen to the podcast, which, by the way, comes out in a few hours after this show ends live. But I believe he said that we're at 487 police officers with 59 positions vacant. And he mentioned problems that I think all of us have either sensed or known. Recruiting is a challenge. We covered some reasons why. Again, not a big surprise to probably most people. And we're not the best paying department. And I just did some quick Googling during the break. And I often reference the city of El Paso because I think it's a city that is kind of the same size, and it's a border community. It's similar in size. It's a little bit bigger than the city of Tucson, 682,000 residents, El Paso is. And they, so some quick Googling, they have, they employ around 1,300 officers or personnel, and that includes 1,100 officers. So when I look at these notes that I took, when I look at these numbers, the fact that we really need to be probably more towards 950 to 1,000 employed staff at TBD, all inclusive, the fact that we really only have 781 deployable individuals, 487 police officers for a community of our size, I just don't think it's enough. And it was interesting when we were talking as a community about defunding the police, I kind of went out on a limb and I said, we've done that. The police have already been defunded. They have already been de-staffed de facto, right? Maybe no one went in and said, this is our initiative. We're going to defund. We're going to take away staff. But we've done that. As a city council, we've done that here in Tucson. We've defunded and de-staffed the police and have not gotten it back to a level where we need it. And my concern, right, is not like this law and order narrative. It's the fact that when you don't have enough people on the street, bad things happen. And I realize I got ahead of myself in that statement. Those things happen because when you are asking a limited number of men and women to respond to that level of crisis that they are all the time, you stretch people's emotional capacity, you stretch their physical capacity, you stretch a lot of things, and you don't allow for a sufficient number of people to be responding to the calls that we have. And when people are stretched and tired, bad things happen. There we go. I kind of put that in reverse, but that's where I was trying to go. I know there's many different layers of that, but that's one that we don't talk about enough. We're not there yet. The other thing that I thought was interesting that just is like jogging my memory is there was over $166 million that was given to the Tucson Police Department out of the new fiscal budget here in Tucson. A quick research, and I need to dive into this more. It looks like El Paso has an annual budget of $118 million and employs far more personnel. So that may not include federal grants and federal monies and things like that. So it might be much higher than Tucson. But interesting number to look at how are we using that money? So just again, to me, it was shocking, and I'm not a shock jock. I don't do that on this show. Much to some people's chagrin, but that number was shocking to me. I didn't realize it was that low. I knew it was low. I knew it needed to be higher, but to see it that low, I think it's a problem. And we need to be focused on that. As a city charter issue, we need to be focused on that in a way that I just don't see that we are. That we are right now. If there's only really 487 police officers in a city of over 500,000, it's not good enough. It's not good enough. The pay needs to be higher, and recruiting is a challenge. And I don't know if the police chief really answered my question per se, but there's been some proposals of maybe we double the police academies. I think there's like one, I was talking to somebody, but basically if we could add more academy time, that might help. And I think the narrative that we've created around policing makes it a career field that less and less people want to go to. And around the country, you know, we see what we often see here in our local community, where maybe Marana has a different way of staffing or a higher pay, or you could do Vail, Sahuarito, or Valley, it doesn't matter, where there's kind of this inter-community transfer, where there's kind of this headhunting, if you will. And it's a problem everywhere, and it's a problem here. We know that to be true. And so we've got some structural challenges here. And if it was easy to solve, we'd have solved it already. I just don't think we're talking about it enough and setting the right conversation around how do we solve this and do it well. There's a lot of people who wanted to get rid of Chief Magnus after all this. And I said this pretty openly. If you're looking for a police chief who's going to look at reforms and look at accountability, I don't see how it gets better than Chief Magnus. I think he's proven he's one of the, you may disagree with this, by the way, but he's proven he's one of the most progressive and community-oriented police chiefs. So let's figure this out. Let's solve it. and let's make it better. So really appreciated my conversation with Chief Magnus. Those are all off-the-cuff thoughts, but again, some of those numbers are just astounding to me. Maybe not so surprising to some of you listening. Let's go to our last break of the hour. Pima County Recorder FN Rodriguez will be on when we come back, talking about early voting, lots of ballots coming her way, and what you need to know to make sure your vote gets counted in time and all this COVID craziness. We'll be right back.
Local and national politics, the issues that matter to you. 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Hey Tucson, Zach Yenser here, and I'm excited to celebrate a business that is near and dear to my heart and making it through COVID-19 successfully. Decibel Coffee Works is excited to announce they are open again for your business from 7 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the MSA Annex, just a block west of the 10 on Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Come on by for a quick cup of quality roasted hot or cold brew, or get free shipping when you order two or more bags of coffee online. Head to decibelcoffeeworks.com for more info.
I'm Steve, and I'm the manager at Jones Photo. The company's been around since 1947, so we've been in Tucson a long time. The services we offer for our customers are film developing, prints of any size. We work with film, we work with transparencies, we work with digital files, just about anything that you can make a print from. Our goal in servicing our clients is always to produce the best work possible.
Jones Photo, 520-327-9521.
25 years ago, the University of Arizona took a bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. This year, we celebrate 25 years of success at the UA Tech Park. Whether it's the 20 new startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new tech park at the Bridges that just opened up, we're celebrating this anniversary year by telling the stories and ideas of Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
With our workforce dispersed to home and the challenges of high unemployment, it's even more difficult to find the right people with the right skill sets. Leading companies are planning how to rebuild their teams and looking for critical talent now. Having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge and have positive impacts on time to hire, retention, and your employment brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and tune into Tipping Point every Thursday morning for advice and insights around workforce pivots.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Like so many businesses, they had to make changes to their hours and operations during COVID-19. But I'm so excited to announce that they are now reopened for regular hours. Go to whyiloveWhereILive.com right now to see all the new products and offerings and plan a visit to their location at the MSA Annex on Cushing off the I-10 and Avenida del Convento. Why do you love where you live? Support for this program comes from Vantage West Credit Union, a member-owned financial institution dedicated to the mission of making this community too strong to fail. Banks own you, you own us. Vantage West, member NCUA.
This is The Voice, 1030, Tucson's trusted news and talk.
Tucson, welcome on back in for our last segment of this 9 o'clock hour here on Tipping Point. We are working to get Pima County Recorder FN Rodriguez on the line. I know she's super busy, and so we'll keep trying here. But we scheduled her before this news came out, but definitely wanted to reference something that came out in the last couple of weeks. The Pima County Recorder is both mailing and receiving a record number of ballots. There are three locations open for anyone who wants to cast their ballot in person, appreciating Kanga 9 and their written journalism for bullet pointing these. You can go to the Pima County Recorder's main office At 240 North Stone Avenue in downtown Tucson. There's an East Side Annex at 6920 East Broadway. And then there's a ballot processing center at 6550 South Country Club Road. And this is news to me. All three locations are actually open 7 days a week. I didn't know this. From 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. through October 30th. Just wanted to provide that. I was chatting with a friend this week who is monitoring ballot returns. On October 16th, he posted 500,000 people in Arizona have voted. They're seeing 516,571 total returns. 234,000 of those are Democratic returns. 166,000 are Republican returns. And that's a 68,000 person difference. And that's about 12% of total turnout. 17% are Democrat, 11.5% are Republican. And my comment to this friend of mine was how many, so it really doesn't account yet for rural votes. So there's that piece. And we know, just statistically, rural Arizona, is likely to vote very heavy for, the Trump and Pence, campaign. And also I'm wondering, just because of the narrative and some of the concerns and some of the issues surrounding this method of the coronavirus and mail-in and early ballots, how many Republicans will maybe vote closer to Election Day or even drop it off or vote still in person. And so that might be a factor. So just some very early numbers, very, very low numbers, but very interesting to see a very dominant Democratic turnout so far. So we'll see how that continues to play out. We do have County Recorder FN Rodriguez on the line. Thank you so much for jumping on. I know you're incredibly busy, but excited to get an update of what you're seeing and what's being sent back to you in terms of early ballots. Welcome on the air.
Well, thank you very much. You know, I apologize because I was scampering and getting ready for something else. I thought, oh, it is on my calendar.
Well, glad.
I got too many calendars. You know, we've had a very good response from the public as far as going to our early voting sites, dropping off their ballots. Well, let's back up. Our first day of early voting was the 7th, and we had lines. Yep. At our three recorders office. So people were engaged, eager, call it whatever adjective you want to use to about casting the ballots. And then we also had lines at the drop-off. Because remember, we mailed them on the 7th, so people didn't have any. Some got them on the Thursday. Very few people got them on Thursday the 8th, and then on Friday, and then on the weekend. And we weren't open. We were working downtown on the weekend, but we weren't open to the public. But Monday was Columbus Day. So I get there, and there was a line at all of our drop. We were outside doing, not curbside, we were doing drop-off ballots, and people were coming in. I worked the downtown location for a while, and I was just kind of curious as why people would, number one, come downtown Tucson, find a place to park, and have to pay to park. You know, and they said they wanted it in our possession. That's what they really did. And so, you know, that's great. That's super. And then a lot of people mailed them because no post office was closed on the Monday. And so we had a big load. It's our largest load ever, where we picked up over 150 mail trays, long ones, of ballots. So, you know, we're running two shifts. We're running, we start at 6:30 and then we go into 8:30 at night. So we do the process. The first one is opening up the yellow envelope and taking an image of the ballot. Well, we'll acknowledge to the voter that once we take that image, we acknowledge on our website that we have received it so they can rest assured that it is in our possession. We were a little bit behind, but we caught up over the weekend, so that process is doing moving along for ballots that we have received at either via the mail or the drop-off locations. And now we're moving along on all the signature checking. We've done it. I know some people have posted on our Facebook page that we received it. We acknowledge and signature has been transferred over for elections for tabulation. So the process is working. It was just the I don't want to use the word of the avalanche, but the volume all came in at once. So yesterday we worked one long day. We worked 11 hours, so we're back to our two shifts. So people can still. Today we did open up our curbside drop-off locations where people, all that information is on our website, scattered throughout the valley. Because we have to hire people, and that was problematic at first. And then we have to train them, you know, what questions to answer, what questions to do, you know. You just can't throw somebody out there, and because if a voter has a question, we know what kind of response to give to them. The most important thing is to make sure you sign your ballot, your white ballot affidavit, put a daytime phone number. We do not enter that into the database. So if we have an issue with your ballot, a signature or something, for whatever reason, we're able to contact you and to ask you a few questions and move it on. Please, citizens, do not respond to third-party people. You know, they can't move your ballot. Only Pima County Recorder's Office can do anything with your ballot. I have no control what these third-party groups are saying out there, but we are the trusted sources. Right. We have possession of your ballot. They're hypothesizing, and, you know, and I hate to say it, you know, both sides are not playing nice. My job is to protect the citizens and the voters to make sure that their ballot is processed. Do not answer these questions. It's like a warning sign, you know.
Right.
We want to make sure that they identify that it's the Pima County Recorder's Office calling them. No one works for the Pima County Recorders. We're not outside, soliciting somebody's ballot or doing all that. We don't do that. Okay. So, you know, if you're in doubt, if somebody's out there, you can call us back. We'll give you a phone number.
Right.
And that way you know who we are. So, you know, there's all kinds of, I don't want to call it games, but
right.
I don't have an adjective for it. Call it whatever you want to.
So I think
so we are the trusted sources.
Yeah, I think this is good because this is kind of where I wanted to wrap up our conversation. We're getting kicked off the air in about 2.5 minutes. I say that lightly, but we got about 2.5 minutes. Anything that those listening need to know, specifically, when should we either drop off or mail in our ballots to really ensure that it gets to you and counted and all that good stuff in time? What's that deadline?
Well, the deadline is I think it's the 23rd. I don't have a calendar right in front of me. But you know what? It's better to do it sooner than later in case there is an issue, okay, with your ballot that we're able to resolve it. Okay, and all this information is on my website. You know, if you remember, you're still dealing with the post office. It takes a day and a half for anything to get delivered here in Tucson. You know, and I have to give a shout-out to the post office. They've been very good in helping us with things that we needed and getting them done. So, but this information is, again, on my website. If people have questions or concerns, they can call the recorder's office at 724-4330, and we'll be happy to answer any questions that they may have. You know, use a ballpoint pen, blue or black, okay? No pencils. Don't use a Sharpie. Bleeds through. If you don't know everything about all the candidates or the issue, you don't feel comfortable or knowledgeable enough on it, you can skip some of these races, okay, or the issues, you know. But whatever you want to vote on, you're absolutely allowed to vote on.
FN Rodriguez, Pima County Recorder, thank you so much for carving out a few minutes for us this morning. Know you're extremely busy. The 23rd of October request is the deadline for requesting the absentee ballot. The 27th is the latest recommended mail-in date. I think your advice is even better. Just do it. Get it in. Do it now. Drop it off. Mail it in. Good luck to you in this final stretch, and thank you for your many years of service.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure to serve the citizens of Pima County.
Take care and best of luck with everything. Tucson, that wraps up our hour of Tipping Point this morning. Bill Buckmaster is next, or at noon as always. Hugh Hewitt is next as always. That's it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow, Tuesday, same time, same place, with more news and stories about the people, idea, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Take care and see you tomorrow.